Hello and welcome to Savor. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have another bonus episode for you. Our interview with Leah Wong Ashburn, the president, CEO, and family owner of Highland Brewing.
Yes, your ears do not deceive you. This is a Saturday release, a bonus release. Although you could be listening to it.
Any day.
Any day of the week.
Oh,
ask
man.
The convenience of podcasts for you. That's a shameless podcast plug. Or maybe shameful podcast plug. I don't know. Anyway.
Just in case you needed one.
Yeah. Yes, just in case you needed one. This is another interview that we did while we were in Asheville that was great. And we thought that we would release it in its entirety, maybe lightly edited, but yeah, generally in its entirety. So you could enjoy the conversation we had as much as we did.
Yeah, it was a really lovely conversation. We arrived at this giant complex that is Highland Brewing. This old like factory building, and we're led by the lovely marketing human Molly through this bizarre labyrinth, back through like an event space that was getting ready to put on a wedding, into this little media room that was very like dim and calming and quiet.
It was, and I'm really glad after the interview was over, Leah led us out, because we would have been lost in there forever. We'd still be wandering around, roaming the halls. We'd become a legend. Like, supposedly there's podcasters.
Somewhere.
Occasionally you can hear them shouting, beer, please. They did have lovely beer. We got to sample some afterwards.
Yes.
They were releasing the Negroni-themed beer that day.
Yeah. Oh, it tastes like a Negroni. I don't know how widely it's distributed, if you can find it in your area. If you can, I definitely recommend tasting it if Negronis are a thing that you're into. Because it's
absolutely
just like lightly bitter and kind of fruity and delicious. Not a plug, just a fact.
Straight up fact.
Just the facts, yeah. Oh, we also got to talk to her father, Oscar, for half a second.
Yeah.
He was there, like, having some whiskey with some friends.
Yeah,
when we left the interview.
And he kind of just, wandered out, and he was like, hey.
And he was like, oh, hey, daughter, what's up? And she introduced us. You could really feel the love that they have for their jobs and their business.
Yeah. It was really funny, I thought. I mean, it was inspiring, and yes, inspiring is a great word, but also it was funny because her dad kind of just wandered out and was like, what are you doing?
Yay.
Who are these people? What is that? Is that a microphone? It was funny. Yeah, so we hope you enjoy this, our bonus episode, our interview with Leah Wong Ashburn.
Your father founded Highland Brewing, right?
Yes.
What was it like growing? I mean, I suppose you didn't grow up necessarily in the business, but came of age, certainly. What was that like?
So I was a cheerleader for the brewery for a really long time because I was living in Charlotte and my family was in Asheville. So they kind of left the nest. We were all in Charlotte at one point. And my dad, mom, and sister came up here. Dad started the brewery. And so I was kind of watching it and being a big fan. He started selling beer in Charlotte, which was really exciting to me. And that's when I asked for a job. And that is when he turned me down for a job. So I found my own way, as he told me to do. And that worked out great. I mean, it was very wise for him not to hire me when I was 24 and I knew nothing and he didn't need me. So, but it was fun to kind of get to know the staff a little bit through, I don't know, the annual staff getaway. When we're for a whole weekend, we go to this funky fishing lodge and some people camp and we cook together and there's a fire the whole time and we bring the beer truck and there's a river and we have a great time. So I got to go to that. And it was wonderful to learn and about what the brewery was doing, not only in beer, but in community over a period of time before Dad offered me a job. And then I turned him down. So that was pretty cool.
Ooh.
So, right, the plot thickens. So it was another 8 years, 16 years in total, between the time I asked for a job, he offered me one, then I finally accepted in 2011.
Where did you start out in the company?
I started out in sales. So living in Charlotte, I worked in sales in Charlotte. So I was working Central and Eastern North Carolina for about a year and a half. And started coming up here, did some marketing for Highland, and then went more into administrative leadership.
Obviously,
Asheville has changed a bit in the past couple decades. How has Asheville and also this business changed since you started?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, even from 2011, even from 2015, when I became president, I feel like the industry turned on its head at that point. But in my whole tenure from 2011, wow, we were kind of making largely the same five beers for most of our existence. And we made them very, very well. But that became sort of a, like, is that all you do? Question, even for ourselves internally. And so we started making new beers, and now half our portfolio is kind of the newer inventive styles, and then half of it is like these classic favorites that have been around for 20 years, 25, the one of them. And our whole, like, we asked ourselves who we were and rebranded in February of this year, just a few months ago. So that was, you know, the biggest thing we could have done is kind of take off the entire face of the brewery and give it a new one, and then explain to people why we did this thing after 23 years or 24 of kind of having the same look.
Yeah, because you guys were the first craft brewery in Asheville, right?
Yes. And thank you for saying that, because there's a lot, I mean, a lot of folks will kindly say, you were one of the first, right? And I'm like, no, we were the first, the very first ones in the basement downtown when there was almost nothing going on. I mean, a handful of restaurants, a great shoe store that's still there, hats off to Tops. And we were in this basement that had an alley come into it from the back, and a park that all kinds of bad things happened at that Dad tried to clean up and the crew worked on. And but it was a very, very different time when there was a lot of potential, but it hadn't been realized. It was like just uncovering the potential of the city, I think.
Going back to the new stuff that you guys are working on around here, how do you conceive of new beers? Like what's the, how do you beer?
How do you beer? I've never been asked that. I love that. So one of my favorite things about the way that Highland works that's unusual is that we've got multiple brains in the creative space of creating of new beers. So, and I will take multiple brains in a creative process over one. It just like feels natural. Everybody kind of nods when I say that, like, of course that's a good idea in a creative sector. So it's wonderful to have these three folks kind of working together on what's relevant, what we can do beautifully, where are we going to source cool ingredients, and what we think our fans are going to enjoy, and what are we going to enjoy as a staff. So the internal excitement builds, and then we get to see the outside reaction to it. It's cool.
Cool. The new thing that just got released today and some of the other stuff that you're working on has been cocktail inspired. How did you guys decide to do cocktail inspired beers?
I mean, this came from this sort of creative brain trust. And, I don't brew. So I don't get at the root of these discussions. Like, that's really in the hands of the people that can do it best. And then I just need to keep doors open, right? And give folks opportunity and allow things to happen the best way that they can. And they do from these folks. So this is, I think, our second cocktail-inspired beer, and I foresee more coming.
What is the community like? You mentioned earlier the strong community being a huge part of what this is, what you guys are, what Asheville is. What's it like here? What's it like being part of it?
Being a, you know, just a resident, not just the beer industry, but a resident of Asheville is very different. I was in Charlotte for 27 years, loved it. And when I came to Asheville, it was just, you know, everything is so much about timing. Timing's critical with my entry to the brewery. Was that right for the company, for my family, for me and Dad specifically? And that same thing happened with my move from Charlotte to Asheville. And it just, Asheville kind of makes you look at what's important in life. There's just a lot of people that choose to live here because they like the vibe. And the vibe is about quality of life. There's a lot of folks here that value being outside. You know, we're attracted to the mountains and that natural beauty, the natural resources that come from that. And that kind of flows into being so outside. So you're moving around outside, you're taking part in things together, you're protecting those cool things together. And then it flows into beverage and food. And so I feel like a healthier and better person living in this city, which is a pretty strong statement to make about what a city can do for an individual. And I never knew that that could be a thing before I got here.
Wow. Do you guys try to pull in elements of that into your products, of, you know, other products from the community, and that feeling of
appreciating good things, like finely crafted, handmade, personal involvement, engagement, and community. Yes, 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 yes. So there's so many examples. I mean, from the brand refresh, having mountains in the back of all of our year-round beers, because that's a big part of our statement. We're so proud to be here, and we want Asheville to be proud of us. So, you know, behaving in certain ways that contribute to the flavor of Asheville, many flavors. So there's that kind of on the bigger scale of the brand, and then individual experiences of, say, the Asheville Bee Charmer is a local company. We use their honey in a beer that is on tap right now, and that was just a great experience. They are so artistic about what they do, and we have worked with them and with so many other local craft food, beverage, sometimes outside of that too, just all kinds of partnerships. So we might pair a food and a beverage. A local farmer was here just this week and dropping off two kinds of basil. One was a lemon basil. The other was like, it had a country name, like it was Italian or so. It wasn't that, something like that. It had like complex aromas I would never guess could come from basil, and this earthiness to it. And so those were going into a beer. So locally sourced and farmed. So there's so many things that we love doing. And that, again, like that energy is created here and then radiates out when people come and they're like, oh, what a cool thing to do together. You know, we might put donuts with beer too, and that's always a winner.
Yes. So. Annie has a strong donut proclivity, I would say. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite beer? Are you a beer drinker?
I'm definitely a beer drinker. Yes, I drink every day. I do not drink a lot of quantity, so I choose carefully. And quality is extremely important. So, but it depends on mood, season, occasion, all of those things.
Has that changed? Have your tastes in beer changed?
They've expanded. I mean, when I was in college, I drank whatever I could get for free, right? Like that's, normal upbringing, beer upbringing, if we want to put it that way. And I remember, you know, trying a Killian's in college and being like, oh, it's so heavy, I can't, you know. So, right? It is comical now. And Gaelic is my go-to. And I learned to appreciate IPAs. I love sours. I love saisons. And I love that most in the right time and place, like whatever that time and place calls for.
We have more with our interview with Leah for you. But first, we have a quick break for a word from our sponsor. And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. Now, back to the interview.
Why did your family move here to Asheville and start the business to begin with? Why did they move out of Charlotte?
A couple reasons. My parents fell in love with Asheville just by coming to visit, which happens a lot. And I have a sister. Not everybody knows this, but I have a younger sister who's developmentally disabled. And finding a good spot for her was part of the reason for coming here. There were opportunities here that weren't as obvious in Charlotte. So they get involved in, you know, kind of seeing that through. And my sister's thriving now, which is awesome. She lives right across the street from the brewery with some amazing people. So that's really wonderful. And then the other half was to start the brewery. Dad met an award-winning brewer, and dad was more the, you know, the engineering side, which it translates very well to the cleanliness and exact science of brewing. And he also had some capital from his engineering company that he had sold, and business sense. He's an entrepreneur. So he partnered up and said to this brewer, this is a great idea. We're both living in Charlotte, but I don't want to do this here. If you want to do it in Asheville, let's do it. I think that Dad, he wouldn't admit this, but I think he saw that kind of like burgeoning spirit of the beverage and food. There's always been a craft community here. Like, that's where Asheville's roots are. And the artistic community is just amazing here. And I think that he saw some of the like quality of life things that bubble around that so easily in the great beer communities on the West Coast that hadn't quite made it to the Southeast. And it's really true. You know, I've traveled a bit out west to some great beer communities, and it feels similar to Asheville in a lot of ways.
It's amazing how, I mean, beer has kind of revitalized Asheville.
Yeah, it has. There's not a whole lot of industry here, so it's beer is something. It's celebratory. It gathers people. It's a natural community energy creator, kind of. And so, in small towns across the country now, you can gather around a brewery like people gather around a local sports team.
Can I ask, how does it feel being kind of the old guard or the big dog with all of these new breweries popping up?
So we've got amazing energy from our staff. So although I am not 25 and my dad is 77 and he loves saying like, I'm one of the old farts, you know, you got new kids, figure it out. We are inspired to like keep doing things in new ways. Like, that's why the portfolio is half fresh beers, and we've done about 100 pilot beers in the course of a year, and really exciting things that come out from that system that are on the tap wall every day. So we're creating, innovating, you know, staying fresh, and that's critical. Like, not only because that's good marketing and that's what you have to do these days, but it keeps us so engaged in what we're doing and what we have yet to do. There's beer programs cooking away right now. You're seeing like just the tip of one today with a Negroni beer that's being put out, tapped fresh for the first time today. So we have to go try that afterward.
So excited.
And so there's more of that coming in different styles and those fresh ingredients that came in, the basil. We had peaches yesterday here for, it just is endless. And so creating excitement again here, and that's where it's got to start.
Can I ask you about what it's like to be a woman in brewing? Because I, you know, even though historically women were doing the brewing, you know, for a long time it was a man's world. Mm-hmm. How's that life?
I think it's awesome. There are pretty cool people that are attracted to the industry, right? So I'm among a really great community, and I have been given incredible opportunity. I cannot ever state that enough. Right. Dad founded this, nepotism. I'm the second generation. Like, it was, and I can't, you know, Dad would not have done this if he didn't have confidence in me. I know that. But because of who he is, because of what he built in the company, because this brewery is sort of an extension of my family, the way that he and my mom have always gathered people in the neighborhoods where they've always lived. And, you know, there was always a family gathering. And so that kind of inclusiveness, whether at the companies or in the neighborhoods, this is just a bigger, like, wildly successful version of how I was raised. And that's really great, because he did it his way, and he's encouraged me so much to put my stamp on the brewery. So I don't know if it's like more feminine, but it's going to be more me. So like we're going to build trails on the property. We have 40 acres here.
Oh, wow.
And I can't wait for that to happen, because I love to, you know, I want to get outside and enjoy the beauty of the stream on the property and the trees and go around and then come back and enjoy a beer. So that feels more like me. And, I don't know, we're seeing the tip of what we can do on this big property and this cavernous building.
Is it a crazy dream job?
I don't come in and drink beer all day, much to the surprise of some folks. It is a bigger opportunity than I ever thought I would have. And I'd love to kind of tell you a quick success story about that.
Yes.
So we're beer first, and we have to do that beautifully. In addition, that kind of like life balance thing and the things that we appreciate with quality of life and that whole thing, I came to Asheville and was so excited about being outside, but this is a small city and we don't have like the Beltline that you have in Atlanta. And I said, well, how can I like help that along? How can we help people get outside, get places safely, get to jobs if you don't have a car? All of those things. And so Greenways are kind of my passion. And we started raising money for Greenways through a race, through some beer collaborations. And I got to work with somebody from the city. I was maybe talking about it a lot. And maybe she came and was like, Leah, why don't we just have lunch? Because let me help you direct these conversations. So she taught me a lot about how Greenways works, all the steps involved, you know, what does the city do? And what do public and private partnerships do. So that was wonderful. And we, you know, got some things in place and we had some fun and raised money and drank beers. And we raised about $40,000 in 4 years through a race that we do here and some other efforts. And the big thing that happened though is through that conversation and telling all of our, you know, 600 runners that come here what they were contributing to by running this race, that kind of got the attention somehow of city council and the mayor. And they put the East Asheville Greenway, which runs right near our property, on a bond package. And the Asheville voters passed it. So now that whole Greenway is funded. And I, because I had listened to my city, you know, teacher who was teaching me how things work, thought that we were on like a 15-year plan, 10 at the least. And in 5 years, that Greenway is going to be built.
That's beautiful. It's the power of beer.
There is power in beer because it collects people and people are happy about it and they love to contribute to things. So while you're doing a beer, if you can do another great thing, then it just elevates everything.
We're going to take a pause right here for a minute. We've got more of our interview with Leah, but first we've got a quick break for a word from our sponsor. And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. And back to the interview.
What do you kind of hope for in the future, both for your city, for the brewing scene, for beer, for you? Future question. I know I told you I was going to ask you about Chime.
That was a really huge question.
Yeah.
So future for Highland, take that piece first. Mm-hmm. We are in an amazing place. So the 40 acres, this huge building, there's plenty of space for us to grow and plenty of space for us to have fun and for guests to do the same thing. So I look forward to developing the property and still being like, we're never going to be fancy and we're never going to be a place where you have to dress up unless you want to and you're coming to a wedding. Of course, we do a bunch of those, but it's a manufacturing facility, but it's very still close to the craft and the way that this was done. It's still people doing all the work, and we want people to be kind of connected to that when they come here. So that gives us direction on kind of how we're going to look and feel with an eye towards sustainability and community the whole time. So, I mean, you probably noticed we don't even have signage up our driveway and you know, there's so many things that we can do, but it's a family-owned business, so it's like one thing at a time and you prioritize where you're going to spend the money that you've got and do things that feel the most valuable all the time. But it's a crazy time in the industry, right? It's super packed. There's still thousands more breweries that are going to open. So the good news of that though is that has made us better. We've had to take a really close look at exactly who we are and how to communicate that to fans and to people that don't know us. And that was a really big piece of our brand refresh. So it's exciting that we've gotten better faster because of competition.
What's your dad up to these days?
He's so fun. Like, So I rarely invite him to meetings. Uh-huh. He even less rarely wants to come. So that works out. But he is here every day. He's 77. I don't know if you got to see him, but he probably looks like he's 57. Plays handball twice a week. Has friends all over the country, probably, and friends everywhere he goes. He's a people magnet. Charismatic. So much fun. And so I love having him here. And he will be involved whenever we ask him to. But he's otherwise, you know, he's serving on the Rotary and on other boards, which he spends a lot of time on. Like connecting with people, but just in a different way, not in the daily business activities. So that's what he deserves. You know, he can work as little or as much as he wants. But we've really, you know, he's not on the leadership team. He comes to the manager's meetings because if he's here, I'm like, you should come to the, you're here. You know, you should probably just show up. But it's been an amazing opportunity and I think a rare one to be in a second generation business and have the first generation say, do whatever you want. And I was like, holy crap, are you sure? And it took me years to kind of even wrap my brain around that, but he really means it. And so he's there for me, but kind of in the backseat.
Does he comment on how everything's going? Does he give you feedback, advice, opinions?
A little bit. And so, which means that when he does, it's important and I should listen. So there's no perfection in doing my job or anyone's. So that's really valuable when he does give feedback. But, you know, there are some other funny things where going back to the brand thing, it was so big, so it comes up a lot. But he was part of some early conversations, and then we did a whole bunch of work, and then I kind of showed him, like, here's what we're going to do with this thing that you've been doing the same way for over 20 years. We're going to radically change it, and here's what it looks like. And he was like, wow, do you like it? I was like, yes, and here's why. I rattled off all these things because I knew all of the research, and it was in every single one of the meetings, and he's like, all right, and that was it.
That's fair. That's good. I mean, no, it is beautiful, and it is, you know, it's not nepotism. It's a family business.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ashley, is when we were talking about coming here and like, what are the common threads that maybe we can make this narrative arc, this story about, and one that kept coming up was art. And I guess I'd never considered how much food and like making beer is part of the art scene. And so it's been really cool to hear people, everyone we talk to kind of bring it up and to know that that is part of the art scene of Asheville, that like you shouldn't discount that kind of stuff. And that's part of like the creative part and the fun part of making beer. And also like just the sense of community and connection with people, because we all have to eat and we like to drink and we can connect over it. And it's kind of been really, really beautiful. I don't really have a question so much as like, I don't know if you have any comments or thoughts on that, but
I mean, just the fact that I enjoy being a tourist in my own city. So, I mean, spending money in restaurants here is so worth it. And all of the different fields and atmospheres and food styles, and everybody takes so much pride in what they do. I mean, that's what it takes to do any kind of craft, right? You've got to rabbit hole into that deeper than anybody else will. And most people will only understand maybe the top, like the surface 10% of it. But when you dive deeper, if there's authenticity behind it and somebody's passion and somebody's done something beautifully, then there's value.
Would you tell us about the building that you guys are in?
Yes. Well, this building is very special. It was, I think, built in the 50s, and it was a ball bearing plant, which is some nasty business. It was a velour plant, which had to be in the 70s. And it's been a movie production studio. So there were some really weird movie props left over from that. That was exciting. Rotating saw blades from a horror movie. Fake dynamite from something that completely freaked us out one day.
Oh, that's so
Oh yeah, the police were here. I mean, it was like, it was scary and fake as it turned out, but we didn't know that. When there's a serial number and a company name and a phone number and someone answers the phone on the other side and says the company name, you freak out. So that happened. But no, when we got this building, we rented it for a while, just the production side. It was one smaller section of the brewery. And that's how the company kind of started, like as a production distributing brewery. And now we are in the like the hospitality business too, which is this unforeseen, really fun, but really demanding part of the business. So we're in that one spot and people started kind of coming by and we're like, well, what if we set up a tap over here and sell a beer and they'll hang out near the tanks. And they brought their dogs. We're like, no, that doesn't work. So shove them outside and put a band out there. And then it was too near the empty kegs. And so we built the tasting room and we can fit 600 people in there. And then we built the meadow, which is always an ongoing project to make an outdoor space even better. And there's a bar out there and outdoor bathrooms and a stage. So then probably a third expansion was to build the packaging hall, event center, and rooftop bar. And they kind of happened at the same time, which was a stretch for us, but we have this gorgeous packaging hall and that whole area was so gross before. We got this building, I thought my dad had lost his mind because after renting the production area, then we rented more, then we bought the whole building. So it's huge. And it was, I mean, you name it, asbestos, mold, leaks in the roof, trees growing through the floor on the inside of the building. Like it was a wreck. And it has taken a lot of love to bring it back from like the brink of disaster to a fairly functional and rustic, but really cool and comfortable and welcoming place. So we'll continue to work on it. And there's so much more that we can do. So we kind of like love and hate the building. It's given us a lot of heartaches, but it is home.
There is a lot of beer in Asheville. There's a lot of breweries. And you kind of talked about how Asheville has its roots in sort of being a craft kind of community. And I'm just curious, I've heard that it's because the water is good. Why do you think there's so much good beer here?
Great water. It really is great. Like we do so little to it. And Dad loves to say we get the first crack at it. That's disgusting. But it's true. So yeah, I mean, there's that. And then that quality of life, beer, beverage, outside, all of those things kind of wrapped up. So that's part of it. I to give the Highland team and my dad credit too. When he started the brewery, he was so intentional about connecting with people to say like, this is the kind of company we are. And this is the kind of brewery we are because we were the first ones in town. We did get some letters that were like, you're going to ruin this place. And Dad wanted to be clear to say, no, we're going to make this better. And we're going to give a reason for people to come together and talk, whether it's about beer or whatever. And the neighbors are going to come together. And so that has happened to a degree that he never would have envisioned. So some of that is great. And some of it was like, oh crap, like we better do some more thinking really quick. So yeah, but it's a great place.
And this brings us to the end of our bonus episode and our interview with Leah. We hope you enjoyed it. Just for a fun aside, immediately after this, we hightailed it over to Well Played to interview Kevin.
Oh, that's right.
We did a lot. We fit a lot in.
We did. What was it? 11, 13 interviews over the course of 4 days?
No one
nights?
Knows, Lauren. No one really knows.
It cannot be counted. It is too many.
A part of me thinks we're still in Asheville now.
Haunting those halls.
Yes. Roaming, lost.
Just going, someone bring us beer.
Also, any type of food would be good. I like that we're like awkward, embarrassed ghosts.
Yeah.
Like kind. That sounds about right.
Yeah, no, I think that's our brand.
Yeah. It's appropriate. We would love to hear from all of you listeners. You can email us. We are at hello@saverpod.com.
You can also find us on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We are at SaverPod. Thank you so much to Leah and the whole team over at Highland Brewing. They were delightful. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Dylan. Thanks to you for listening. And we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. Mm-hmm.